Today's shiur, Maseches Sanhedrin, Daf Chof Hei. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shi'ur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In our previous Shi'ur, we saw a Mishnah toward the end of Chof Dalet Amud Beis with a list of those that are unfit to serve as judges or witnesses. The Gemara itself opened up with the issue of a mesachik b'kuvya, a person involved with gambling and game playing for the purpose of financial gain. We saw in the Gemara Rami Bar Chama and Rav Sheshes, each one offering an explanation as to what the problem is with such an individual, thereby disqualifying him as a judicial functionary. According to Rami Bar Chama, the problem was the money that such a person acquires in the course of game playing is money that is classified as asmachta, and hence in the gray area bordering on theft. According to Rav Sheshes, that was not the problem, because as a result of the gain of money, as a result of unsure circumstances, we cannot classify that as a form of theft. However, the problem was one of eino osuk biyishuvo shel olam. Such a person is not engaged in creative activity for the welfare of mankind. The Gemara sought to what would a difference be between these two opinions. And the Gemara answered that would be a situation where someone may be involved with Mesachik Bekuvia, with this gambling, game-playing type preoccupation. However, he has an additional form of income, a legitimate form of income. According to Rami Bar Chama, this would still be a problematic person. According to Rav Sheshes, he would be fine. As we look at the Mishnah, we see the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda, and we get the impression that if a person has an additional legitimate form of income, even though he may be a Mesachik Bekuvya, he is acceptable to serve as a judicial functionary, whether as a judge or witness. This would pose a difficulty to Rami Bar Chama, because according to Rami Bar Chama, the money that he acquires in the course of Mesachik Bekuvya is illegitimate funds. And as a result, that is what disqualifies him. But the Mishnah, as we just said, indicates that if someone has an alternative or an additional legitimate form of income, even though he's involved with Mesachik Bekuvya, he's okay. The Gemara at the bottom of Chof Dalet Amud Beis, 2 lines from the bottom, raises this problem. Kashya the Rami Bar Chama. Our Mishnah, as is, presents a problem for Rami Bar Chama. V'chitema pligi rabbonon oled Rabbi Yehuda. You might say that even though Rabbi Yehuda is the one that says that as long as he has an additional legitimate form of income, he's kosher, but the Rabbanan disagree. The Omer of Yeshua ben Levi, kol mokoyim she'omar Rabbi Yehuda emosai uvameh, wherever Rabbi Yehuda uses terms like emosai or uvameh, qualification terms, eino elo lefaresh divrei chachamim, he's coming merely to explain the chachamim and not to differ with them. Rabbi Yochanan amar emosai equals lefaresh. The term emosai is an explanatory term. Uvameh equals lachlok. If the word Bameh appears under Rabbi Yehuda's name, then he is coming to argue. But in our case, in our Mishnah, and we've highlighted that with the relevant markings, dashed underlines or dotted underlines, in our case, though, Udekule Alma, whether it be Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi or Rabbi Yochanan, Amosai lefareshu. The word Amosai, which is the word that appears in our Mishnah, is of an explanatory nature. Hence, whatever Rabbi Yehuda is saying, he's simply reflecting the opinion of the Tanakhama. The Gemara responds and says, Gavra agavra koramis. Are you attempting to ask Akasha on Rami bar Chamo by citing Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi's opinion? Mor savar pligi, or mor savar lo pligi. Rami bar Chamo feels that the Chachamim argue with Rabbi Yehuda, and the fact that Rabbi Yehuda uses the word Amosai does not indicate he's coming simply to explain the Chachamim, but that he is assuming his own unique position. Umor Savar Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi holds lo pligi, that when Rabbi Yehuda uses the word Amosai, he's not coming to argue. So, as things stand right now, as far as Rami Bar Chamo is concerned, the fact that someone has an additional income, according to the first opinion in the Mishnah, the Tanakhama, that does not qualify him to serve as a judicial functionary. Before we go further in the Gemara, let us point out some of the markings that we've employed in this sugya. We see at the bottom line of Chof Dal Amud Beis a triangle with a point facing up. In our note on the outside margin, the Mivneh, we featured two triangles with their positions different. Birur im Rabbi Yehuda cholek al hachachamim beinyan hapsulim ledin bisman sheish lehem umenus acheres. We're coming to analyze, to clarify, what is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion with regard to the Chachamim. Is he coming to argue with them concerning these unqualified people in the event that they have an additional legitimate form of income? We've noted that with the triangle facing point facing up, kivun, this is a direction, the Gemara assumes a direction, shereitze loymar deloy cholkim. With the point facing up, in our markings, we're trying to indicate that this section of Gemara is going to advance the idea that they, Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, are not at odds with one another. The Gemara that we're about to see, with the triangle point facing downwards, kivun, this is a direction, shereitze lehochiach decholkim. At this point in the Gemara, Gemara will try to show that they are arguing with one another. So let's see what happens. The Gemara now continues, v'loy pligi. Is it so that they are not arguing? V'hatanya. We have a Tanaic source that says, bein sheyesh lo umnus shelohu, bein she'ein lo umnus elohu, whether he has an income, a profession that is not one of these things listed in the Mishnah, whether he has no other form, hareze posel. Noting our dashed underline, we have featured the expression sheyesh lo umnus posul, namely, even if he has another legitimate income, he is not acceptable because he's involved with one of these problematic occupations. This would indicate that there is a controversy, and not like the Gemara concluded on behalf of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi that said lo pligi. The Gemara answers on behalf of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, Hahu, this Tanaic source is Rabbi Yehuda Mishum Rabbi Tarfon. This is an additional opinion, but not one of the opinions that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi was dealing with. Desanya, the following source, will bear this out. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Tarfon. Li'olam ein echod mehem nozir. A little bit of background is necessary before understanding this particular Tanaic source. The Rashi provides the background, and I think that we'll benefit most by going through the Rashi inside. Ein echod mehem nozir. Shnayim yoshvin ve'echad ovir. You have two people seated, and another party passing by. Ze omer ploni ha'oiver nozirhu. One of the seated parties says that the fellow passing by is a nozir. Ze omer eino nozir. And the other fellow says he is not. Viomar echod. And then another party comes and says, Hareini nozir im kemoisoi hu shehu nozir. He accepts upon himself nizirus if it turns out like the one that said he is a nozir. The chaveru omer hareini nozir im kemoisoi hu sheino nozir. And I'll become a nozir if it's like the fellow that says he's not a nozir. Ushneim miskavnin nazirus. Both of the speakers here are interested in accepting upon themselves nazirus. V'nimtza ke'echad mehem, and it turns out like one of them. V'omar Rabbi Tarfon, ein echad mehem nazir. Neither one of these people is going to be bound by nazirus. Why is that? Shal hasofek omar dvorav tchila. Because during his initial acceptance of nazirus, he was doing it under doubtful circumstances. The ein zu hafla dechi yafli ish. The pasuk says ki yafli. The expression yafli yeforesh mashma means definitive, clear speech. Alma, we see from this a principle that will apply to our Gemara. L'Rabbi Tarfon dechi toli tno b'midi delav biyode v'lo yodalo. If a person makes something dependent upon something that's not in his control and he is not aware of at the time he makes that condition, afilu hochi havyo asmachta, even though it was a matter of doubt, it is considered an asmachta, velo amrinon, and we don't say misfeko gomar viakni, that because it was a matter of doubt he was willing to bind himself. This opinion is different than the way we saw Rav Sheshes at the bottom of Chof Dalet Omid Beis present the matter. As a result, once a person is involved with a form of income where there is an issue or an element of doubt whether he deserves the money or rightfully gains the money, we say, according to this opinion, that too is categorized as an asmachta, and hence illegitimate. Malva Baribis was the second type individual considered not acceptable to serve as judge or witness. The topic heading that we have provided here is Malve Veloive Beribis, one who extends a loan or one who takes out a loan with interest, Psulin Ladin, because they're involved with paying or receiving interest, they are not fit to judge. Omar Rova. Loive beribis posul the edus. One who borrows money with the intent of paying interest is not acceptable to serve as a witness. The loive, the borrower, also being said to be in violation of the negative commandment involving interest payments. The Gemara asks, "Vana tanan malve beribis?" Our Mishnah indicates that one who loans, who extends the loan, not the one who pays. So the Gemara answers, "No." The way to understand the Mishnah is milve habo beribis. Loans that come about through interest, and by saying it that way, we're including both the malve, the lender, and the borrower. Bar vinitus. This is a name. Ashidu be tre sadi, two witnesses said testimony concerning him. Chad omar kami didi oizif beribisa. In front of me, I saw him extend a loan with interest payment. V'chad omar lididi oizfi beribisa. The other witness said he loaned the money to me with the necessity of paying interest. Pasle Rova Labar Binitus. Rava said, lo and behold, we have two witnesses testifying that he is engaged in paying, in loaning money with interest. The Gemara asks, Vaha Rava hu di Omar loive beribis posiliedus, vehavele Rosha, vahatoira omra al toshes Rosha aid. How can Rava rule that we have two witnesses? The second witness, and you notice we have an underlined Chad Omar at number two, that man said that Bar Benitus loaned me money with a need to pay interest. That means I borrowed money with interest payments. Rava himself said, and you can navigate by spotting the arrow here and the arrow several lines up, where Rava opened up the Gemara by saying that loy veribis, one who borrows money veribis, is posiliegus. And as a result of that, as a result of being unqualified to serve as a witness, because he is a violator of this mitzvah, he's considered a rasha, he's considered an evil person, a sinner, and the Torah says, Al toshes rasha, do not place a rasha in the position of being a witness. So how is it that Rava could accept the testimony of the second witness? The second witness is a rasha. The Gemara answers, Rava letame. In order to understand how Rava accepted his testimony, we follow Rava as being consistent with what he said elsewhere. Diyama Rava, Adam Korov Eitzel Atzmo. A person is considered regarding testimony he says about himself like a relative testifying. And as a result of him regarding information concerning himself is like a relative testifying, it's disqualified. The information that he said about himself is disqualified. The ein odo mesim atzmo rasha, and as a result of that, he cannot make himself into a rasha. So to go over that point, when the second witness says he, Bar Benitus, loaned money to me, that aspect of the to me is just discounted, because he is not able to testify about himself, and we're left with the information simply that Bar Benitus extended an interest-bearing loan to someone. And hence, one and two combine to serve as witnesses, disqualifying Bar Benitus. Hahu tabcha, dishtakach dinafka trefso mitusi yode. There was a tabcha, a person involved with meat sales, a butcher, that was found to allow trefa meat, unacceptable meat, to be sold to the public, literally passing out from under his hand. Pasle Rav Nachman v'avrei. Rav Nachman ruled him to be unacceptable and removed him from his job. Ozal Ravi Mazia Vatufre. So this butcher who just lost his lost his position went and Ravi grew his mazia, his hair and his fingernails, tufre, as a sign of penitence, a sign of someone trying to amend his ways. Sava Rav Nachman Lachshurei. Rav Nachman was impressed with his outward behavior and figured that we can restore him to being a kosher butcher. Omar Rava, Dilma Arume Komarim. Rava, looking at this with a skeptical eye, saying maybe he's trying to fake us out. Well, if that be the case, Elamai Takate, what is the solution? How can a person who sold kosher trefa meat as kosher, how can he gain restoration to his original position? The Gemara answers with a long answer, and you notice in the little space between the Gemara and the Rashi, to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, an encircled tuf with a dashed vertical line indicating the length of this answer. Kidderav Idi bar Oven. As he teaches, the Amar Rav Idi bar Oven, Hechoshud al Hatrefus, one who is suspect with regard to selling trefo meat as kosher, Ein lo itakona ad sheyelech v'mokem shema kirinoso, until he has no solution, until he goes to a place where people do not know him. V'yachsir aveda b'dover choshuv, o ishiyotzi trefo mitachas yodo b'dover choshuv mishalo. Where he does one of two things. He returns a valuable, lost item to its owner, or he rules that meat recently slaughtered, owned by him, is unacceptable, is trefa meat, thereby experiencing a personal loss. What do these two actions represent? They show that this person is uncompromising with regard to chemdas mamon, lust for money, namely that he's overcome his lust for money that was exhibited by his willingness to sell trefa meat as kosher, and now, by restoring a valuable lost item to its owner, shows us by this behavior that he's overcome his lust for money, and likewise with the case of declaring meat as trefa, thereby imposing upon himself a financial loss, thereby showing us that he has mended his ways and is not willing to compromise for the sake of financial gain. Umafriche yoinim. My mafriche yoinim. Hocha targimu. What the Gemara is asking, or what is the nature of this behavior, of this practice? So, in one place, here, it's been explained. Itakteme yoinoch liyoin. If we'll call it bird races, whereby one party says that if your bird flies faster, outruns my bird, I will pay you such and such amount of money. Rabbi Choma bar Oshaya, a second opinion, Omar Oro. This is a practice where a bird is trained to allure birds from other places and bring them to this fellow. Man de Omar I takteme yoinoch liyoin my taimalo Omar Oro. The opinion, the first opinion that said that mafrich yonim, who is posel, who's considered unfit to judge, is a person involved with bird races. Why did he not say the approach of Aura of bird luring? Omaloch, Aura, the problem behind this practice of alluring someone else's birds away from their coops is Mipnei Darkei Sholom Bi'Alma. It's not considered a serious offense per se, because in the perception of the Gemara, generally speaking, birds that are in someone's possession are his only, they're considered owned only in, we'll call it rabbinic terms, that may darkei shalom, in order to preserve public harmony. So we say that birds that settled in a particular coop are said to be owned by that person, not because it's considered a full-fledged form of ownership, but so as to preserve darkei shalom. Therefore, when I allure away those kind of birds, birds that weren't considered to be legally owned in the fullest sense of the word in the first place, therefore I'm not considered necessarily an evil character by alluring away such birds. The Rashi points out, Mitnei Darkei Sholom Bi'Alma, Desanya, Yoinei Shoivach V'Yoinei Aliyah. These are doves or pigeons that settle in people's coops or in people's attics. Yesh b'hen gezel mipnei darkei shalom. If someone else were to come to my rooftop or my rafters and take away those birds, the yoinei shoivach or yoinei aliyah, he's considered in violation of theft only on a darkei shalom level, v'lo gezel gomor. It's not considered full-fledged theft. V'lo zocha b'hen baal ha-shoivach. The owner of the coop is not said to be a full-fledged owner of such birds. The memela ka'asu, the ravu lahasam. The nature of these birds, it would appear from the Rashi that they're basically wild birds that settle in people's coops and lay eggs and can cause income, serve as a source of meat for the person in whose coop they landed, but as Rashi just pointed out, they come from the wilds and just happen to settle in that location, thereby constituting a form of ownership that's not considered of a full-fledged nature. Uman de Omar Ora, the opinion in our Gemara of Chama Bar Asher, who said that Mafrichei Yoinim is this bird luring practice. My time alo Omar, why did he not say that the mafrichei yoinim is the person involved with gambling in bird races? Amaloch, he says the reason I didn't use that explanation is because that's already cited by the Mishnah, Hainu Misachek Bekuvia. That's already alluded to by the Misachek Bekuvia, another form of game playing and gambling. The idach, the man d'omar that said it is bird racing, is it not? Is that not a repetitious pshat? Namely, bird racing and mesachik b'kuvya are essentially the same things in general terms. So the Gemara answers: Tana toile b'das atzmoi v'tana toile b'das yoinoi. The Mishnah teaches two examples of gambling. One, the Kuvia case, is totally is dependent upon his own self, his own skills at this particular game. The other example is the case of the bird racing, which is dependent on the success of the bird. Utsricha, and I need to teach both examples as being examples of unqualified people for testimony and judgment. De'i tana toy libidas asmo, had we taught only that case, hosam hu de lo gomar umakni, there the players do not resolve to pay out the money. Why? De omar kim li benafshoi diodano tfei. Because each person has this inherent self-confidence that he is going to win. And he doesn't have this element of doubt that would be grounds for viewing the payment of the money afterwards as a legitimate payment. The Rashi at the top points out, Kimli ben Avshoi, Velohoiso Sveiko Biyodo, and he had no doubt in his mind when he entered the game that he was going to lose. V'to'usu, and when he does lose, it's a complete mistake. V'chi asni, and when he made the conditions of the game, adaito dehu neitzeach asni. He thought with confidence that he was going to win and didn't take into consideration that he might lose. V'lo gomar v'yakni, and as a result of that, he doesn't resolve to pay the money. And when he does pay the money, the other fellow is said to be holding it illegitimately. Avol toile b'das yoinoi. However, bird racing, which he knows he's not in full control because there's the bird and its inherent abilities, that's a major factor. Sveiko hu biado initzach. He is initially in a state of doubt whether he will win. V'afilu hochi asni misveiko. And even though he's not sure he's going to win, he knows he might lose. Hilkoch gomar umakni. Therefore, he has full resolve that if he has to pay, he is going to pay willingly. Continuing in the Gemara, we said that Toila Bedas Atzmo, that if it taught only that case we would say is considered a problem because of his self-assuredness that he is in full control and doesn't even entertain the thought that he might lose. Avol Toila Bedas Yoino Emolo, the Gemara says at the top. But bird racing, where he knows it's the bird is a determining factor, he doesn't have that same self-confidence, and therefore he knows at the outset he may lose, and therefore the payment of money that he makes is done willingly. V'itana toila bedas yoinoi, had I taught only the case of the bird races, the Omar benaksho talio milso v'ano yodano l'nekushi tfei. In that case, I might have thought only there is he considered unacceptable as a judge or witness, because part of the bird racing method was to create noise by rattling pieces of wood one on the other, and with that rattling skill, one was able to hasten the pace of the birds. And he figured that he's an expert at this rattling process, and he was so reliant upon his own expertise he didn't entertain the thought that he might lose. Avol toila bedas atzmo emolo, but in the case of Mesachik Bekuvia, where this skill is not part of the game, is not part of the process, there I might have thought that he is still acceptable if he were a Mesachik Bekuvia. And therefore, Tzricha, I need to tell you that that case as well, as Mesachik Bekuvia, is also disqualified as a witness or judge. Meisvei. The Gemara presents now a Tanaic source. We've also featured a long question marking. As you can see, the encircled kuf to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text between the Gemara and the Rashi indicates the length of this question, a rather long question. We will be featuring a source with a great number of details in it. But in fact, from the whole source, there's only one key word, and that's the word behema. What we will be doing is asking a question on the opinion that said that mafriche yoinim is ora, is alluring birds. In this source, we're going to see a number of diamonds, and that's explained in the outside margin. There are four psulim. B'mishnah on Chof Dalet Amud Beis. This highlights the four psulim, the four disqualifying factors that were mentioned in the Mishnah. And you can see the first is Mesachik Bekuvia, followed by Malve Beribis, Mafricha Yoinim, and finally Sohare Shvias. The source also features a double underlining series. And they are Eich Kol Echod Yochol Lachzer B'Tshuva. They feature how each one of these problematic individuals can restore himself to good faith. In the course of the source, we will be focusing on Mafriche Yoinim. Notice that's the third diamond, and that we saw in our Gemara was the subject of Machlokas. What is it? One of the opinions was Mafriche Yonim is Ora, is alluring other birds away. And the source mentions that Mafriche Yonim, even though Yonim figures in the name of this preoccupation, it involves behemoths as well. So at the end of the Tanaic source, as you can see, the end of the frame, because in our marking system all Tanaic sources are presented in frames, the Gemara says, Kotoni Nihas Behema. Part of this source contained the mention of a behema as being an example also of something that figures in the Mafriche Yoinim activity. So, if you explain Mafriche Yoinim as racing, so you can have racing amongst animals as well, behemoths as well. However, if you explain Mafriche Yoinim as bird alluring, where in the realm of behemoths do you have behemoth luring? At that point, the Gemara will conclude its long question and say that it's more likely that mafricha yonim should be understood as bird racing as opposed to luring. However, the Gemara will provide an answer and say that even in the realm of animals, there is a certain type of animal that is capable of luring away other animals from their location and bringing them over here. We start the question. Mesvei. Hamasachik bekuvia. Elu hein hamasachikin bepisvesin. Masachik bekuvia are those that play and try to win money. They play with pisvesin. Rashi says, shivrei etzim. Wood fragments. Velo bepisvesin bilvad. Omru elo afilu klipe egoizim uklipe rimoinim. This game can be played with nut shells and pomegranate shells or pomegranate rinds as well. Rashi points out that even though the nut shells and klipe rimonim are not designated for this activity, nevertheless, one who is involved with using them for the purposes of trying to win money, he's also considered a Mesachik Bekuvia. The Emosai Chazaros, and what qualifies their return, their penitence, their restoration as acceptable? Mishi Yishberu es Pisvesehem V'yachzuru b'hen Chazorah Gemura V'yafilu b'chinom lo avdi. At a point in time that these people smash their wood pieces, the pispisein, and do penitence, so much so that they do not play this game even without money. Malva beribis, echod hamalva vechod aloive. Whether it be the lender or the borrower, they are both considered guilty of this avera and hence unqualified to serve as judges or witnesses. V'emos ha'chazor rosan, mishi yikru es shtorahen v'yachzu ben chazor gemura. Their restoration to acceptability is at the point that they tear up their documents and do a full return. Afilu lenochri lo mosvi, and they refrain from interest-bearing loans, even when dealing with Nochrim as well. Umafriche yoinim, elu shemamrin es hayoinim. These are people involved with, there are two pshatim that one sees in the Meforshim here on the word mamrin. One pirush is found in the outside margin of the Gemara, where he trains the birds for bird racing. The other opinion is the opinion of found in Rashi, where it involves bird fights. V'lo yoinim bilvad amru, the mafriche yoinim is something that's not limited to doves. Ela afilu behemo chaya ve'oif, even other types of creatures can fall under the category of mafriche yoinim. Ve'emasai chazoroson, mishi yishberu es pigmehem v'yasru bohen chazor gemura. Where they break the rattles that we made mention of earlier, that tends to urge on the creatures. So when he breaks the noise-making devices and does chazor gemura dafilu b'midbar nami lo avdi, where they don't practice this even in the midbar. The Rashi offers one of his pirushim here, is that afil b'midbar nami lo'avdi means that he doesn't do it even for free. In other words, he simply desists from the activities under the heading of mafricha yoinim completely. Sochere shvius, elu she noisim v'noisnin b'peru shvius. These are people that conduct commerce with fruit that grows during the seventh year of the seven-year agricultural cycle, the seventh year being the Shemitah year, in which in which there's a prohibition of conducting commerce with Shemitah products. Ve'imosai chazorosan, mishe tagia shviyas acheres, their penitence can be accomplished by the arrival of the next Shemitah year, the Bodlo, and they desist from any commerce with the Shvias produce. V'yomer b'nechemiah lo chazoros dvaron bilvad omru, elo chazoros mamon. When we speak here about return, we're not referring to simple stopping of the activity, but we are talking about a return that's obvious, that's noticeable, and that Rashi explains lo chazoras dvorim loimar, to say loy noisif o, that we won't do this anymore. Elo chazora hanikeres, we're talking about a chazora that has to be visible. She yifazru peros shvius she beginoisem laniim, where they scatter or disperse their Shemitah fruits to the poor. Gemara, if the source itself continues, we mentioned lo chazoras dvaron bilvad omru elo chazoras mamon ketzad. How is that? How is that to be understood? Omer, if the fellow says ani ploni bar ploni ki nasti mosayim zuz v'per shvius. Person declares that I once amassed 200 zuz through the sale of Shemitah fruits. I am declaring that amount of money I am giving as a gift to the poor. Kotoni mihas behema. It says, however, in the course of this source, it mentioned behema. Things work out well according to the opinion that said mafriche yoinim is bird racing. Hainu de mishkachas lo behema. It's through that I can see and find cases like that involving animals, all kinds of animal races. Elo lamandiyomar ora, but according to the opinion that explained mafriche yoinim is luring behemo bas hochi, he is a behemo capable of luring other animals away. The Gemara answers, in this phenomenon is possible b'shor habar. Ukemadiyom b'shor habar equals min behemo hu. The case of behema luring, of training an animal to lure other animals away, could be accomplished dealing with the animal known as shor habar. And as far as how one classifies that as a behema or a chaya, so the Gemara points out, it says, ukeman diomar shor habar equals min behema hu. Desnan, we have a Tanaic source presenting two opinions with regard to how one qualifies a shor habar. As far as our long source above was concerned, it would be important for us to have it qualified or categorized as a behema. So we see shor habar equals min behema hu. That's the Tanakama, and that's the important opinion for us. The secondary opinion, and hence we featured it in brackets, Rabbi Yossi Omer min chaya hu. Min chaya. The practical difference between these classifications is in regard to halachas concerning chelev, forbidden substances within kosher variety animals. If an animal is called a behema, so its chelev is prohibited. If the animal is qualified or classified as a chaya, the chelev is mutter, is permissible. So, as far as we are concerned, we opened up this discussion concerning definition of mafriche yoinim, and we saw two opinions. One says that mafriche yoinim involves racing, and hence winner or gets money. The other involved luring away creatures from their current locations. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a flurry of different geometric forms, each one having its own significance. So before we go on in the Gemara, let us glance at the outside margin, the Nosei Mivneh heading. Chachomim hoisifu psulim psulim ledin shelo poslum eikar. The Chachomim, the sages, added later on examples, additional examples of those who are unqualified to serve as judicial functionaries. These are examples that originally were not considered problematic. To take an overview of the different geometric forms, we notice the bowtie form. In our Gemara, they represent two rishimos shel psulim chadashim. We'll see two lists of additional unqualified people, unqualified in the realm of judicial, of the judicial process. One is over here. The number two you'll find on the second wide line of the Gemara. Within each category, we'll see the use of triangles. Pirut kol echad. The Gemara will get into details concerning each one of the items in the list. That when, so when you see the triangle will be highlighting one of the names, one of the characters in the new lists, and explain each one. Then we will notice a house form. There will be the point facing up, and the, later the point facing down. With the point facing up, me'ikora lama lo poslum. Gemara will be dealing with the issue why, if now we're calling these characters as unqualified, why originally, why they, why were they not disqualified? With the point facing down, ma ro'u chachomim achakach lifsol oisom. Why now are they in fact categorized as unqualified? Turning to the Gemara, Tana, hosifu alehim hagazlonim v'chamsonim. The source teaches us that added to the list of the Mishnah are these two characters, gazlonim and chamsonim. So the Gemara asks, gazlon equals d'oraisahu. That is a Torah problem. In other words, it's one who is a thief is disqualified already from the Torah. Why is it necessary to have a rabbinic statement of new people added to the list of the those who are disqualified? Well, the Gemara answers, Lo nitzucha elo lemetzias chirish sheita v'katan. When this source makes reference to a gazlan, we're talking about someone who swipes away from a deaf mute or a shoyt, an insane, or a minor, an item that they found. This type of behavior will disqualify him as a judge or witness. Me'ikora sover, at the outset, when they were as of yet not disqualified, the feeling was mitzias chereshete v'katan lo shchicha. It's an uncommon circumstance, and as a result of things being uncommon, the rabbis don't make gezeros to counter uncommon behaviors. Inami, another explanation why initially they were not considered as unqualified, b'pnei darkei shalom bi'alma, the possession of a found item on the part of, let us cite one example of a minor, a child finds something, he takes possession of it. His possession of it is considered a possession that is not of a full-fledged legal nature, but rather one to preserve public harmony. And as a result of that, someone who takes it away from the child, though he may be violating Darkei Shalom, the way of peace, nevertheless, he's not a full-fledged thief. However, kevan dechazu de seif seif meimoina hu de koshakli, when after time went by, the rabbanon, the rabbis felt that this character who swipes away found articles from these people is he's a person that has a lust for money, and as a result of that, paslinu rabbanon, people who have a lust for money are people that are suspect as taking money to offer false testimony as well. Chamsonim, the chamsonim were listed in the list of newly disqualified people. First of all, a chamson, Rashi defines a few lines up as Yohiv Domi Elashain Rotson Bailim Limkar. He's a person that throws money on the table and takes away an item from the owner after having put the money for it on the table. He did this, of course, without the owner's acquiescence. So the Gemara now analyzes Ha Chamsonin Meikara Savor. Initially, when the Chamson was not disqualified, the figuring was Domi Koyoiv. At least he's paying money. Akroi Bi'almahu, and such events happen they happen rarely, and as a result, there was no need to disqualify such a person. However, Kevon Dechazu Dekochatfi, when the Rabbanon saw how when it's done, it's done in a grabbing chatfi, a grabbing fashion, gozru behu rabbanon. The rabbanon ruled it's not that they are not acceptable. Let us glance at the Rashi. Kevan de chazu de chatfi v'shakli klomar de afilu domi koyavi osi lide gazlonus. That even though they are paying money, they still are likely to come to thievery. Klomar, she koshen lebailim limkor, ubal korchon choyfin vizorkin amos lefneim. We're dealing with situations where the owner did not want to part with the item whatsoever. It was, and so what? Money was thrown at them, but the item was taken away by force from the owner. And as a result, it was felt that these type of people, the Chamsonin, are too close to being actual thieves, and hence rendered unqualified. Continuing in the Gemara, Tana, Oid Hoisifu Alehen, Horoyim Hagaboyin V'Hamuchsin. An additional three characters were added to the list of those unqualified to serve as judges and witnesses. Now we continue with our analysis. Royim, these are shepherds. Meikora Savur Akroi Bi'almahu. That which in the case of shepherding animals around, the animals wander into other people's fields and eat unrightfully from other people's crops. It is just a matter of happenstance. And hence, there is no real reason to disqualify the royim. Kevon dechazu dekom echavni v'shodu l'chadchila. When it became apparent that these shepherds are actually directing the animals into other people's fields, the rabbonon, Gozru Rabbonin, ruled that they are unqualified. Hagaboyin Vamuchsin, different forms of tax collectors. Meikara Safur, initially it was felt, my dekits lehu koshakli. The fixed amount, the apportioned amount, the predetermined amount of taxes is what they were collecting from the people, hence operating in a within a fully legal framework. Kevon dechazu dekoshakli yisera. However, when it was perceived that they were taking advantage of their positions as tax collectors and taking more from the public than was established by the authorities, paslinu, they were rendered unfit. As we go on in the Gemara, we'll take a glance first at the topic heading, the Nosei. Rava features din, echad roya behemadaka, echad roya behemogasa, psuim lahayid. Whether it be the shepherd of light cattle or he who herds larger cattle, they are unfit to serve as witnesses. Continuing in the Gemara itself, Omar Rava, Roya Shamru, the Roa that was featured as unfit to serve as witness, Echad Roya Behemadako, the Echad Roya Behemagasa. We've dashed underlined the second example, the example that includes the those that herd around heavy cattle, Umi, and according to Rava, he's unqualified to serve as a witness. Umi Amar Rava Hachi, does Rava really say thusly that a Roya Behema Gasa is possible? The Amar Rava, Roya Behema Daka, he who shepherds around light cattle, Be'eretz Yisrael Psulim, B'chutz La'aretz K'sherim. If it's in Eretz Yisrael, then they're not acceptable. Outside, they are. Roya Behema Gasa, Afilu Be'eretz Yisrael K'sherim. One who shepherds or herds around heavy cattle, even in Eretz Yisrael, he's acceptable. So if we just contrast the Rava Aleph, we have a diamond under Rava Aleph versus Rava Beis, what do we see? Rava Aleph presented a Roya Behema Gasa as unqualified, and in Rava Beis, he's quite kosher. The more answers, Hahu, Rava Beis, that was Machshir Behema Gasa, those who are preoccupied with Behema Gasa, B'megadlim Itmar. Cattle raisers, as opposed to cattle herders. Hachi Nami Mistabra. This distinction is most likely, namely, that a Roya Behema Gasa, one who herds around heavy cattle herds, he is unqualified. Midiktoni, from the example of the Mishnah that said, Ne'emonim olai shloisha roye bokar, where one of the litigants accepted upon himself those that herd around heavy cattle. And we see from this example that had he not accepted upon himself this type of individual, they would not be believed. My lovely Edus, are we not to assume that this example is an example of people serving as witness? So what do we see from here? That only because he declared Nemon Olai, the Roye Boker, would he be a kosher witness. Otherwise, Pusel, just like Rava. The Gemara says, Loi, Ladina. This doesn't bear out Rava's teaching. Rava was dealing with the issue of testimony, and this source is dealing with the issue of serving as a judge. Daiko Nami, by careful reading, precise reading, one actually sees that this source deals with those serving as judges. Dikotoni Shloisha Roye Bokar. The source features three, the number three. The Ili Edus, if this source was dealing with witnessing Shloisha Lomali, what do you need to have three for? As far as witnessing is concerned, less than three also can serve as witnesses. V'elamai, Ladina. If that be the case, do you want to insist that this source is a reference to judges? My Iria Shloisha Roye Bokar. Why does the source speak about cowboys? Kol Bei Tlosa Delo Gamri Dino Nami. Any group of three that are not learned are not qualified to serve as judges. So the Gemara answers, Hachi Komar. We are going to stick with the pshat that we're dealing with judges, but the significance of this source is afilu hani delo shchichi beyishuv. Even people like this that are not part of the general community, they're not common in the settled communities. Rashi says under the Gemara, "Velo shchichi biyishu, velo ro, velo shamu, iske din bein odom lachayr." Since they're all the time they're out in the fields, they don't see, they don't hear judicial matters and judicial proceedings between fellow men. Nevertheless, e kablinu ilo motzi lemahader. If the litigants accept upon themselves these type kinds of people, even though they're so far removed from the judicial process, once they accept them upon themselves, they cannot back out. Omar Rabbi Huda. Before we go on, we have a topic heading. Rabbi Huda says, "Stam roya posel, stam gabai kosher." Rabbi Huda deals with these two occupations and says, if once the person has such an occupation and we don't know any additional facts, how are we to classify them? So, Omer Rabbi Huda, stam roya, your average or general shepherd equals posel. Even if we didn't see him direct animals into other people's fields, once we know that someone is a roya, he is considered unqualified. Stam gabai kosher, the tax collector, until we have any definitive information about him, he's considered acceptable to serve as a judicial functionary. Until the point that we hear that he took more than his allotted amount. The Gemara follows now with a story involving a tax collector. Avud Rabbi Zera. He was a stam gabai. Avad gavyusa tlesa shonen. He served in this capacity for 13 years. When the governmental authority who was in charge of the community came to town, so the Avod Rabbi Zera, when he would see the Talmidei Chachamim, he would say, Amalahu Leich Ami Bo Bachadirecha. He would say to them in a kind fashion, go and hide yourselves. A little background is necessary, and this is provided by the Rashi toward the bottom of the page. Omar lech ami bo b'chadirecha, delo nachazina boch reish naharoshu saro ir. Hide yourself so that the governing authority should not see you. The roya shirabim yeshvei ir. And if he does see you, he'll see that the city is populated. And as a result of seeing a large population, v'shoil momen harbe l'chol shana, he'll seek out a large payment every year. V'hu hoya mekel aleihem hamas, the avod Rabbi Zera wanted to lighten the tax burden. Umadche esar ho'ir lemor shiyoshveho mu'otin ve'ein mimi ligvos, and he would tell the sar ho'ir that there are few people in this community, it's a little population, and as such there's no one to collect from, and that would result in a lightened sum of money sought by the governmental authority. Continuing in the story, ki havechazi inshi damaso, when Avuah the Rabbi Zera would see commoners, he would also advise them to hide, but in using harsher language, he would say, Omar, reish nara osu lamaso, the governmental authority is coming to town, v'ho'idno nochis abo lefum bro, uv'ubro lefum abo. And today, literally, it means that a father will be slaughtered in front of his son, and a son in front of his father, but the idea being, today, they're coming to collect money. And everyone went into hiding. Kiosi, when the governmental authority finally came, Omar Lei, the Avud Rabbi Zera would say, Miman Nivi, from whom should I request funds? There's no one around. When he was about to die, Omar Lei, so he said the following, Shkolu Tleser Moi take 13 coins that Sairi Li Bisdinoi that I have tied up in my sheets, in my fabric, and tied up in a pouch, the Hudru Le Leplanya, and return these 13 moi to so and so, the Shakasinu Mine, I collected it from him in order to eventually transfer it to the authorities, for lo, it's the Rihu Li. But I don't have any need for those monies, so therefore return it to the one who originally paid me. With that, we complete our shiur for today.